Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
It is good to be here, isn't it? It is awesome time. We go through difficult times. We go through situations that we don't know what we're going to do next. We don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know what it's going to look like next. But I know one thing. Our God is true. He's the same every day. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, you can count on Him. Amen. I feel like I'm going to talk to you today a little bit more about the unity. But before I do that, there's a passage that really just, a verse that just really hit my spirit just a moment ago. And I want to say, ask this question. How many of you have someone that you know that's either part of your family, in your family, or maybe just a friend, neighbor, or whomever, but you know of someone that is wayward with God? They're sort of drifted. They have went astray. They're sort of in a foreign land like the prodigal son. How many of you know somebody like that? I want you to stand up. Now, the Bible says over in Zechariah 10, verse 8, it says this. Are y'all ready? Yeah. I will whistle for them to return, for I have redeemed them. Y'all didn't hear me. I will whistle for them. It's in the Bible, I promise. That's good. Who can whistle? Who did that? Did you do that, Bridget? Do it again. All right. Okay. Now, we've got some wonderful people from Ohio today, and I know they're probably going to go back home and say, that's a whistling church. No, we're just messing with you, but we're so glad to have you guys. It's such a pleasure, and all our visitors, it's just so good to have you. It really is. But Zechariah 10:8, he says, I will whistle for them to gather together, to come together, for I have redeemed them. See, it's God doing the talking. Said He said, "I'll whistle for them." You know, have you ever still standing? Say, we're standing for these people, that they will hear the whistle of God. You know, a lot of times, if you're out somewhere and somebody whistles, does it get your attention? Yeah, you sort of look. Who can whistle real loud? You can. I go ahead, whistle. Well, that's pretty loud whistling. I like that. Go ahead. Yeah, that's one of them. Hey, you. Hey, you. So, see, our standing today is not just so we can look foolish, but you know, the foolishness of this world will confound the wise. See, the God is into the things of saying, all I want you to do is just trust me. Just trust me. And if He said He whistles for them, we're just in agreement with Him by whistling for them to come home. So let's do it one more time. And that's what our whistling is about. We're saying, come home. I want you to come home. So just, on the count of three, everybody just whistle the best you can. Okay, one, two, three. All right, come on home. Come on home. That's what we're saying. Come on home. All right, y'all in agreement? Come on home. Come home. Come home. Come home. Call their name out. The first name. Let's just say their name. Call their first name. Say, come home. Come home. Amen. Amen. He is the way maker, and He can do it through whistling. I'm a believer. How about you? I believe the Bible, every whistle of it. I do. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so much for participating in that what I consider a prophetic gesture. You know, I like looking into things and seeing what God is doing, and I like to do whatever I can to cooperate with what he's doing. He's the creator. We're the creatures. We're the ones, we're the children. He is the creator. And we find our way by following the creator, because it's his way that we walk, his way that we live, his way that we have our being. It's in him that we have everything that we have. And he is in the process of blessing all his people in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of everything that looks like it's going to go wrong, could go wrong, but he is still in charge. He is still God. He is still the one that can take nothing and make something. He can still take the impossible and make it possible. See, it's not left up to me. It's not left up to you. It's not left up to the doctors, Barbara. It's left up to him. He can change it. He can change leukemia and say, be gone in Jesus' name. He's the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who he is. And that's our proclamation, correct? Our proclamation. Amen. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll look at verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm still talking to you a little bit about unity. And how many of you have gotten the message so far that unity is extremely important? I know I was talking with someone that was with Mary, the one that made the announcements, the lady that made the announcements. She had a visitor with her from the school, I think, last week. And I met the visitor and chatted with her just a few minutes. And she said, I really enjoyed it today. And I felt the presence of God today. And she said, I just want to let you know that I've been to 3 different churches, and this is the 3rd one, and every one that I've been to has been talking about unity. God's up to something. God's up to something. He really is. And I honestly believe that the church that Jesus said, the church that he builds, not the one that a denomination builds. And as long as Jesus is building the one that the denomination is building, then we're okay. But if a denomination is not building the way Jesus wants it built, that's not the church that's going to stand against the gates of hell. But the one that he builds will be able to go against the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the church. But see, but Jesus didn't say an individual. He didn't say just a believer. No, he said, I'm building a group of people. I'm building a group of people that are the called out ones that are called from the world and called to assemble. See, it's the assembling that makes us the church that he wants us to live in. That's who we are. It's not a place. It's not a building. It's not any of those things. It is the living presence of God inside us and collectively coming together, called out from the world and called into his kingdom to do what God wants us to do. And it doesn't matter if the gates of hell comes up against us. The gates, the authority that hell thinks it has, the very presence of hell will not be able to withstand the unity of the church that he's building. Does that make sense? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, and this is out of the Passion Translation, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus, for the name's sake of Jesus, for his name's sake, I'm begging you, to agree to live in unity with one another and put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. So anything that attempts to tear us apart, he said, I'm begging you to put it away and agree to live in unity one with the other. That's how important this thing is. Because there are things that the devil wants to send out, the devil wants to do to be able to rip the church apart if he could. Now he can rip a lot of things apart, but with the church that Jesus built, not going to happen. Amen? Not going to happen. He says, and put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. Be restored as one united body, living in perfect harmony. Living in perfect harmony. Boy, I love that part, don't you? When you hear the voices up here, when they were singing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, and the harmony of it, you get to hear different, is it octaves? Is that what it is? Is it, huh?
Intervals, notes.
I'll let the musician do all that. You know, I don't even know that I can even talk about it, but I do recognize it harmonizing when I hear it. And that is the way that God wants us to operate. And he said, put these things aside that you're calling differences that are irritating you guys. I mean, it's an irritation. It's we're all different. Amen? We're all different. I mean, we're all different. Just look around. Just take a look around. I mean, we see the things that God's doing. We hear the things that God's doing. But we need to be in the middle of what God's doing. We don't need to be an outsider looking in. We need to be inside, cooperating with him, working out. That's who we need to be as a people, united. You know, and it's not just saying, okay, uniformity. We all got to look alike. We all got to think alike. Can't do that. That's not what he wants. He wants diversity. Diversity is what makes it so beautiful. The diversity of God's people that he puts together and says, you're one. And I want you to perfect the unity that I've given you. All right, let's look at the Colossians chapter 3. So that was in Corinth. And that was a church at Corinth that Paul had to write and address division. So now he's at the church of Colossae, and he says this, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, since God chose you to be, and this is out of the New Living Translation, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's going to leave out most of us. No, I'm messing with you. That's the part that he's working on. See, our unity is perfected when we're put with people, working with people. Listen to this. Working with church folk. Working with church people. Working with God's people. Working with our brothers and sisters. And we have an opportunity to be humble. That just went over your head. I know. That just went over your head. We have an opportunity to humble ourselves to one another. That's the reason he puts us together. That's the reason he says, I want you working together. I want you doing things together. Doing things together. That gives you an opportunity to show mercy. It gives you an opportunity to just look at your brother, look at your sister that you're working with. I'm talking about church folk. And you say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And then the Father's voice through the Holy Spirit says, I already have. How about you? You going to forgive them? See, the whole thing about us working together is for him to put us in platforms that gives us the opportunity to have these things working in us. Because he says kindness, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Make allowance for each other's faults. Is there anybody in here that are without fault? I'm not talking about in your spirit. I'm talking about in your walk. Is anybody in here without fault? I will yield. We all have faults. And he said, make allowance for the faults. We're on a trip, we're on a road and a journey to perfection and becoming like who he is. Our whole life should be coming to a place of being like he is. But he says all of these things, make allowance for the faults and forgive one another, forgive everyone who offends you. Forgive everyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Clothe yourself with love. It's the binding agent that keeps us in perfect harmony. He said, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule your heart. That word rule means to umpire. It means to call the shot. Who's going to call this? Let Christ call it. Does that make sense? Instead of you, me and you scratching our head, we look to Christ. How's he going to call this? How's his word going to call this? Is it a strike? Is it a ball? Is it out of bounds? Is it in play? Let the word of God, let the peace of God call the shot. Well, I don't have peace. Well, then don't be calling any shots. Are you hearing me? You know. Let the peace of God rule. Let it umpire your heart. Let it umpire your position. Let it umpire your walk. Let it umpire, because you know the umpires, that they're making the calls. So, and that's what the Lord says here in this passage. He said, let the peace that comes from Christ rule your hearts. For as members of, because we are members of one body who are called to live in peace. Called to live in peace. And then he adds this, and always be thankful. When should you be thankful? Let me say that again. When should you be thankful? You know what that means? 5 minutes from now. You know what else that means? When you get in the car and pull out of the driveway and get in a line that doesn't seem to be moving. I'd advise you. Can I give you some advice? Are you ready? If you're in line at a grocery store and it doesn't seem to be moving, don't change lines. I'm speaking from experience. Because the line that you go in, God's working, even when you don't feel it. Even when you don't see it, he's working. And I said, no, this one has got 5 people in it. That one has 2. The last person over there is already gone. This one still has 2. Somebody's going to check an item. Wrong item. He's going to go check it again. I need help on register 2. I said, I need help on register 2. Somebody open up another register. God says, you sing a song about me, son, even though you don't feel it. I'm working. And he is. He's working. What's he working? He's working on all of us to come to the places of saying, wait a minute. I can yield these things that I think that I'm supposed to have right now. I can yield that and say, God, whatever you want. See, that takes us growing. It takes us getting to the place of maturity. We're members of one body, and we're called to peace. And always, always be thankful. Another passage says, give thanks in all things. All things, give thanks. Learn that. See, our unity doesn't mean that we have to agree on everything. But it does mean that the things that we disagree upon, that we will not allow it to separate us, even though we disagree. Mary was up here talking about raising teenagers, and what was the question? Something about how many of you are still raising teenagers? I leaned over to Brenda and I said, do not raise your hand. Don't be raising your hand. You think you still, because she still says, you still act like a little boy. And I said, I've got the answer for that. I am one. I am still a little boy, but I'm growing. I'm growing, still growing up. But see, we do not let these things that we disagree upon interfere with us being one and demonstrating our love for each other. But see, he'll put you in these places, you know, to where you'll need to have kindness. You'll need to be kind. And I'm always kind. We try to be always kind. But see, the kindness of God is already in us. As we said before, the love of God is already in us. The patience of God is already in us. We just have to actively work it out. Live it out. And we got to stop this thing about trying to get kindness. We already have it. We just got to be able to live out the kindness that he's put in. How many of you got just a little bit of Jesus when you got him? Okay. How many of you got all of Jesus when you got him? See, you have all the kindness. You have everything that he is, you already have. But we're not behaving as such. And that's the thing that he's constantly working on, putting us in these situations, these long lines, or this thing, and or whatever it is that's an irritant to you. I was working with a guy one time, and I said, you know, that person, it was a saying that I just used at that point in time. I said, you know, that person really got my goat. And he said, that's what you get for having a goat. What that means is, don't have goats and nobody will get you goat. You know, that person really pushed my button. That's what you get for having buttons. Have a button, guess what somebody's going to do? Push it. And all this stuff comes out. You know, I said, well, don't have buttons. Don't have goats. And I'm not, for those of you that have goats literally, I'm not talking about that. Nah. Okay. And he goes on, it says, restore. I should have never brought up the goats. Restore our heart with Jesus' love that he's already given us. And we should have our soul saturated with it, our mind and our will and our emotions to be saturated with God's love. And in the process of that, we will learn to value each other more than we ever do, or more than we ever have. Let's look at Corinthians 12. I want to do one other one before that one. I want you to look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 says this: we are to grow up. Has anybody ever told you that you need to grow up?
All the time.
All the time, okay. So you need to grow up. See, well, that's an exhortation by the Scriptures, by the Lord in Scriptures. He said, we are to grow up. How do we need to grow up? In all aspects of him. What part of Jesus are we to grow up in? All aspects of who he is. Grow up, and that's what it says in Ephesians. We are to grow up on all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, and from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. And that causes the growth of the body for the building itself up in love. When you see this, he said, Christ is the head of the church, but he has put instituted authorities, leadership in your life, submitted to him, that gives you direction. See, when it talks about the elders, you should rule over the church. You should have rule in the church. It does not mean that you lord over. There's a lot of them that will lord over the church. I'm the boss, I'm the pastor, and you're going to do what I say. That's not what he's talking about. That's a perversion of what he's talking about. The word that word to be able to rule in that position of having leaders in your life means that they will stand before you to lead, to protect, to serve. Jesus even said, hey, the greatest among you is whom? The one who serves everybody, who is the servant of all, the greatest. I remember Pastor John and Miss Faye, and y'all have heard me talk about this maybe a time or two, but was down there moving tables. Me and Brenda had a meal, and we was putting tables up and chairs, and he came over to us and said, listen, y'all go ahead and go home. We got this. Out of great honor for his pastor and his pastor and Miss Brenda, so we're okay. So we just still roll those tables and still stacking chairs, you know. And then he comes again. He said, Pastor, we do really. Y'all go home and rest, and we got this. And I said, I get it. I do. I understand, and I appreciate it. Miss Faye comes over the third time, and she says, look, y'all need to go home. y'all need to go home. We got this. We're going to take care of this. Y'all go home. Y'all go home. And I finally got both of them together. You remember that? Do you remember that, don't you? I finally got both of them together, and I said, listen, let me ask you a question. Do you want me to be just an average leader or just a good leader or a great leader? I want you to be a great leader. And I said, well, then I'm in the process of doing that. I'm serving others in order to become a greater leader than I currently am. John said, there's a chair over there. He really didn't say that. I made that part up. God forgive me. I made that part up. But he did say, I understand. Why is that? It's not just say you need to serve, you need to help, you need to cooperate with what the body as a whole is doing. You need to be involved in serving. Everybody needs to be involved in serving. The thing is I can tell you that, but if I don't model what I'm telling you, then I'm just talking and not doing. Does that make sense? So we as God's people, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I remember a wedding that was in this house. It's been years ago, a wedding, and several churches they knew the couple was getting married. Matter of fact, I wasn't doing the ceremonies. Another person was doing. So they were just using the church. But anyway. In the process of that, there's two pastors sitting over here on this side, and somebody comes and gets me and says, do you have somebody that can clean up something? I mean, a wedding's about 5 minutes, 6 minutes away from starting. And I said, sure. You know, well, I look around and, it's me. It's me. What you need? He said, well, we had a child that threw up right over here on the floor and in the chair. On the chair. I hate to bring that up on a Sunday, but, you know, it happens. So I said, sure. And I'm one of those that has a reflex that you wouldn't believe. So I'm making my way back. Rita has made this bucket back there. It's got all this kind of stuff in it. And I said, God, please, take away my smell. Please. Please, in the name of Jesus, don't let me smell. Please, just for a few minutes. And I get the bucket, I go over there, and I have to kneel down and get on my knees to start getting, I won't be getting all of it up. This pastor is sitting right here, and he looks and he says, they finally found something you can do around here. And I said, yep, I'm on my way to greatness, brother. I'm on my way to greatness. Anyway, so I get all that. I'm telling you the truth, so help me. I smelled nothing. God answered my prayer. For some reason, I couldn't smell a thing. All that got taken care of, and I went back. And And I'm saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord.
And I'm sure that story is being told by others
today. I'm sorry?
I'm sure that story is being told by others today.
Probably.
The ones over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Out of a good example, I'm hoping you're saying by good example, and some of those says, you know, he's not all he's good for is. You know. No, but see, here's the thing about it. I can make phone calls and say, look, you see, somebody needs Rita. I don't know where you are right now, but you need to be here. I don't think Lynn was here then. You need, get you some. No, no. I knew when I looked around, it was me. It was me. So I'm saying, okay, God, I'm here. I'll do this, but you just have to help me out. And he did. He helped me out with that. So here's the thing about it. Humility, mercy, patience, gentleness, kindness. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. What's he doing? He's building the church in such a way that we can work together. And I'm telling you, I've got to close. I'm telling you, the unity that you and I perfect together today by working together. And if you're not involved in something here, get involved in something to work with people. Work with your brothers and sisters. Well, I'm not called to that. You're called to serve. That might not be your calling to be in the nursery, but you are called to serve. Or be in the kids' church or be in the media team. But you're called to serve. And then in the process of serving with each other, you get to see each other's quirkiness. You get to see each other's attitude come out. You get to see all that. He said, make it a point to make allowances for faults. And start forgiving people. Why is that so important? Because the bigger thing is on its way. And what does that mean? It might be the gates of hell on its way to make something so big to you, so bold to you, and so fierce to you that it wants to intimidate you to get out of your position, get out of your place, and don't do what it is that God wants to do. And he says, no, I put you in this place so that you would be able to stand against the evil of your tomorrow. See, the perfection of your unity together today will prepare you for the evil of tomorrow. The ability to perfect our unity, to mature our unity together as a church, as congregations. And see, it doesn't stop here. It just starts here. Then it goes to other congregations, and it just goes to other states and the United States. Then it goes to other places in the world. It doesn't stop here. It starts here. But see, as we perfect the unity today, together today, working side by side, being together, learning together. As we do that today, it will prepare us for the evil that we will face tomorrow. It's worse than you see today. The evil of tomorrow is worse than you see today. But, you know, Isaiah talks about the darkness, gross darkness comes, and it just gets more and more gross. It just keeps coming. Now, you would think, wow, how are we going to do that? At the beginning of that chapter says this, rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See, in the midst of the greatest darkness that we'll ever see, be it tomorrow, be it a week from now, be it a year from now, the greatest darkness that we'll ever see holds nothing in comparison to the glory of his presence upon you and I. And that is the truth. So our focus and our working together has to be in his name. And that's how it started out, for his name's sake. There's one last thing I will say, this thing about the last day unity. There is a unity for the last days. It's over in, just found over in Jude. He talks about, verse 18, it talks about, you've been told this, that in the last days there would be scoffers whose purpose of their life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. But you. He talks about scoffers, and the verses ahead of that, he talks about people that brag on themselves all the time, complainers, grumblers, and they flatter people in order to get their way. He says, but you, in verse 20, but you, dear friends, who's he talking to? At the beginning, he says, I'm talking to the ones that are called. I'm talking to the ones that are saved. I'm talking to the ones that are born again. He said, that's who I'm talking to. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in the most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, and allow the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. End day. Last day, he said, in the last days, you're going to run into this. He said, but you yourselves, your job is to unite and encourage one another. Lift each other up. Build up. Don't put each other down. Don't knock people when they're in their points of weakness, when they struggle, when they fall. That's not the time. That's the time you help them. That's the time you encourage them. Come on, we can go through this together. We will go through this together. We will go through this together. If we stay, whatever this is, we will go through this. Whatever this is, we will go through this together. Perfected in our unity, with Him being the head, and us encouraging one another, and overcoming all these obstacles that we have in our own being of not behaving the way we need to behave like Jesus, when we need to be behaving like Jesus. So he lets us know that unity will impact the ability of how productive we'll be in the kingdom. You want to be productive in the kingdom? Got to unify as one. We got to come together as one and look, make allowances for each other's faults and put things away that seems to be tearing us apart or tearing a relationship apart. Forgive. Amen? Amen. Amen. God's up to something. He hasn't quit. And every time we start being at each other or getting ununified, disunified, or having division going on, we paint a false picture of who God is to everybody else. We're painting a picture that God's this way. He can't even get along with himself. He can't get along with his people. His people can't get along with him. You just paint a false picture of God. And that's not what we need to do. We need to paint the picture of who God truly is. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for your time today. So now is the day that we get to hear what God has to say, what God has said to you, to me, and we get to move in a direction that He's leading us, and we get to participate in being part of the last day church that rises up with all of His glory shining upon us. revealing who he is in the midst of the darkest part of the world that we could ever see. And we get to participate in that to show the world who he truly is. That is an amazing opportunity for you and I to enter into. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we are, no matter what we're in the middle of, we're here to show forth his glory. Not ours, but his. Amen. Is there anyone here that you don't know Jesus? You'd like to surrender your life to Jesus and say, I don't know that I'm born again, but I want to be. Is anybody here that wants to be born again today? All right. Is anybody here that needs prayer? Okay. I'd like whoever needs prayer, Brother Doug, you and Pastor John, and maybe a lady or two. If you just need prayer, I want you to come up right here. We're gonna close, but I want you to come up. If you need prayer, just come over here on this side, and somebody will come pray for you. Don't leave till somebody prays for you. Okay. I want to make sure that you're ministered to today. We don't even know what it's about. Thank you, ladies, for coming to help. So y'all just go ahead and start praying for them. Amen. All right. How many of you whistled today for somebody? Now, you check on them. You check on them to see how they're doing. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you so much. We thank you so much. We worship you. We have an awesome opportunity to be your people actively doing kingdom work. We're grateful for that. Thank you, Lord, for these. May their needs be met today by your presence and by your spirit through this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.